Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Today is being observed as Hunger Day by the seminary family, or rather Hunger Awareness Day. And it's my understanding that many of you will observe this day by fasting for one or more meals. The fast to be broken tomorrow with the observance of the Sacrament of Holy Communion. Scripture readings, especially that of the feeding of the 5,000, are appropriate readings for a Hunger Awareness Day. And you are to be commended for your desire to observe such a day. But I have some confessions to make as you begin the observance of Hunger Awareness Day. I have to confess that I've never gone to bed hungry. I've never stood yearningly in front of a bakery display case filled with tempting pastries that made my stomach groan because I was starved or because I had no money for bread or for the luscious pastry so temptingly displayed. I've never had to scrounge through garbage cans or go out into the field to pick up grain or vegetables dropped or missed by harvesting machines. I've never had to live on cornmeal or rice and beans for even a week, and that's the steady diet for many people in various parts of our world. Yes, I don't always realize how, nor appreciate how truly fortunate and blessed of God I really am. And my guess is that this is true for all or for most of us here, at least for those who were born and reared in this great nation. But tragically, it's not true for countless millions of people around our world. It's ironic that with all of today's scientific and technological advances, we still haven't found a way to effectively conquer or eradicate hunger. We're faced with a life issue that continues to crucially affect hundreds of millions of our fellow human beings. Dr. Frank Gablin, headmaster emeritus of Stony Brook School and former editor of Christianity Today, writes in the October 2, 1981 issue of that magazine, "If the untimely deaths of tens of thousands on our highways is a national scandal, then the multi-million deaths because of starvation is an international one." For you see, widespread hunger persists throughout our world, and it exacts a high human toll. It's been estimated that as many as 500 million people are still crippled by hunger, and a prominent nutritionist estimates that a billion or more others should have a more varied diet. The vast majority of the hungry, some 80% by World Bank estimates, are women and children. And in recent testimony before the Congress of the United States, the human toll of hunger was described in these forms. Blindness caused by a lack of vitamin A occurs in more than 100,000 children every year. From 10 to 50% of women in South America, Africa, and Asia are estimated to have iron deficiency anemia. In adults and children alike, undernourishment brings listlessness, muscle wastage, and a reduced capacity for learning or activity, a legacy that perpetuates the poverty at the root of the hunger issue. Yes, for tragically large numbers of our fellow human beings, the only escape from hunger is death, and it's been estimated that as many as 10 to 12 million people die of hunger or its attendant causes each year. I believe it's only at the risk of disobeying our Lord or of neglecting to follow his example so graphically portrayed in the feeding of the 5,000 that we who profess to be his disciples can be indifferent or unconcerned about such a life and death issue. Whatever else the feeding of the 5,000 tells us, it surely tells us that our Lord and Savior cares for and is concerned about people. He cared that this crowd of people were tired and hungry. He wasn't just concerned about their eternal welfare, as important as that is. He was also concerned about their being tired and hungry. He wasn't so busy thinking about their spiritual welfare that he forgot about the everyday need for food for their body. And that's a lesson we need to learn and relearn. For we who have been called to serve as our Lord's under-shepherds, and you who are being trained to serve as his under-shepherds, if we can sometimes be so concerned about the spiritual welfare of our people that we neglect or forget about their physical well-being. But the feeding of the 5,000 tells us that a servant of God is not just someone who preaches and prays and spends his life helping people only with spiritual matters. A servant of God is also a person who spends his life trying to help and serve the physical well-being of people as well as their spiritual well-being. And so in observing a Hunger Awareness Day, you are following the example of our Lord and Savior to welcome the poor and the hungry with open hands and with open arms. And today, you and I are his hands and his arms. He fed 5,000 people on the hillside of Galilee more than 1,900 years ago. And he still cares about the hundreds of millions of people in our day and in our time who are physically hungry and tired and who do not know him as their only Lord and Savior. He is the living bread who can satisfy all our hunger and our deepest longings, and through our witness to him in word and in deed, he can also satisfy the hunger and the deepest longings of people today. May God grant each of us a special measure of his Holy Spirit to empower us to serve him in word and in deed. God grant it for Jesus' sake. Amen. Lord, help us to remember our faith in you is not to be confined to church buildings and safe places, nor exercised only in prayers, meditations, and words. Teach us that our faith in you and our love for you also expresses itself in the caring of Jesus, in the caring service of helping the poor and the hungry. Show us it isn't enough to merely tell a person of your love. Help us to also demonstrate it as we share your blessings with the hungry of our world, even as we would gladly and eagerly share them with you. Hear us, for we ask it in your precious name. Amen.